Grace Church, would you make welcome the man of God, Brother Greg Albritton.
I love you, bro.
Let's give Jesus that ovation of praise. Could we just give him a standing ovation? Lord, we praise you. Hallelujah. What a liberty and anointing of the Holy Ghost that I feel in this room today. Man, I've said it many times that in the kingdom of God, there are two wings on this airplane. One is the Spirit and one is the Word. And I feel both of them operating in this house today. The power of the God's Spirit and the ministry of His Word that's going to happen. Praise God. Lord, we worship you, Jesus. Thank you for the privilege of being in your house. Thank you for the privilege of worshiping you. I was thinking a moment ago, Lord, we're not doing this because we have to. No one's forcing us to. Amen. This is what heaven's going to feel like for years and years. We're going to be in your presence because we want to, honoring you and worshiping you and lifting you up, Jesus. Lord, you are great. Lord, you are greatly to be praised, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you for receiving us today. Thank you for the opportunity to be with you in service. Thank you for those very kind words. I mean, a legacy ministry, I appreciate that. But you emphasized the decades part like several times, like decades and decades and decades. And like, I love you, man, but I'm only 54. Man. But there are, it is an S on the end of that word, and I have to be honest about that. But thank you for your kind words and love, appreciate ministry team so much. Some of them lifetime friends, and some I've met in the last few years. And I've told Brother Murphy, I said, you've trained your men, ladies, well, and they'll show that strength in the next few weeks. And so I know he feels that strength. Brother and Sister Murphy, we love you. Amen. We pray strength to you, and we pray blessing to you. Hallelujah. I said it several times to them when she was talking to me on the phone explaining what happened. It just came to me immediately, and then last night again. There are some times when challenging or what we could call a bad thing happens. Immediately happens in my mind sometimes, and this is one of them. Immediately your mind goes to thank God for what didn't happen that could have been. And my heart, even though this is very serious and painful for Brother Murphy, my heart says thank you, Jesus, for your protection. And thank you, amen, thank you for your strength, protection. Praise God. I do want to say to this church, thank you for your prayers for me and for my family these last few months. It means so very much. We have walked on the strength of prayers, and we still are. And thank you. Thank the body of Christ for undergirding and loving on us during our tragedy. And my sweet wife, I give honor to her and her love for Jesus and anointing on her throughout the years. Something became broken, and she could no longer gird up the loins of her mind, and she's in the hands of the Lord, and we thank God, amen, for her, and I honor her today, amen. Thank you for your prayers. I keep praying and lifting up our family, amen, amen. I tell you what you can do for a moment is if you don't mind, if you'd be seated. Something happened a couple years ago. You might remember that my family was with me on a weekend of ministry, and my boy Creed wanted to testify, and that was his first time to ever testify. And the last few months, weeks, he's been traveling with me, and he's told Daddy he wants to help Daddy preach, and he wants to testify, and I've told him he can't testify if he don't pray. And so we've been praying and asking Jesus to help us. But he's asked if he could testify again today. So is that okay, y'all, if he comes? And come on, Creed, man. All right. Thank you.
pastor gave us a basket. It's the greatest day of my life. People gave us baskets, but except for the day when I got baptized.
All right. Awesome.
And God is defeating the devil every single day, every single second, every single hour, every single night, every single year, every single moment, every single day.
All the time.
All the time. The devil is trying to lock us up with chains, but God, he's destroying them.
Amen.
And here we go, Dad.
All right. All right. Thank y'all for loving on our family and loving on my boy. Praise God. I want to take a moment and say to the Bible quiz ministry of this church, wow, what a great, great year. I give you honor and congratulations on just an amazing year. I'm a part of Bible quizzing. My children are part of Bible quizzing. And, man, I just give y'all honor. Y'all just dove in, like, all the way in and amazing. And God just blessed that. And so thankful for that. Praise God. Let's stand for the word this morning and pray the ministry of the Spirit in this house today. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1. The Bible says this. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren. Paul writing to the Thessalonian church. He says, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, that you would abound more and more. He said, I've taught you, I'm exhorting you, I'm encouraging you that you know how to walk. And you know how to please God. Do that more and more. One version says, you've received of us how you ought to walk and please God. Excel still more. In other words, do the best job that you possibly can do in walking with the Lord. Do the best job. Do just keep going, giving your best, and keep striving to excel, to walk worthy of the Lord. One songwriter said it like this, an older song. I don't know if Sister Casey's had it on the list in the last few weeks, but it's still one of my favorites. And it says, I'm going through. I'm going through. I don't care what the rest of the world decides to do. I've made up my mind. I ain't going to turn around. I'm walking with Jesus, and I'm going through. Could somebody say it with me? I'm walking with my Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm walking with Jesus, and I'm going through. Let's just give the Lord another moment of that praise hand clap. It feels good in the house of the Lord right now. Hallelujah. 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 So I want to minister for a few moments on the subject, walking with my Jesus, and I'm going through. God bless, and you may be seated. There are three main components to this last statement of this song that we talked about. Number one, walking. Everybody say walking. Walking with Jesus. Can you add that? Walking with Jesus, and I'm, can anybody help me finish? I'm going through. I'm walking. I'm walking with Jesus, and I'm going through. Henry Ford said, those who walk with God always reach their destination. I'm walking, but I'm walking with him. Now, you all are aware, very aware, maybe some new folks not aware, but in 2017, I got the West Nile virus, hit my body hard, and it was a fragile journey in between life and death, eternity, for several months there, some great challenges. A couple other diagnoses, subsequent things that happened, something called Guillain-Barré, that as I was recovering from West Nile, it then broke my body down even further and almost fully paralyzed me again for a long part of there, several weeks there, and then more complications. And I lost a lot of muscle strength. I lost 34 pounds, and I would like to think that at least 32 of those pounds was muscle loss. My right leg was an inch and a half smaller than my left leg. It wasn't a stroke, but it affected the right side of my body. My right lung became paralyzed. You look in the mirror and you can see all the bones on the right side of my body. My arm, I remember a therapist coming into the room at the inpatient hospital and handing me a 1 pound dumbbell. And it took everything I had laying flat on my back to get it hides in your hand, but to get a 1 pound dumbbell to the top. I couldn't make it to the top. She gave me some exercises with my elbow resting on the bed. I began a journey of recovery. I didn't walk for a long time without help. And it was, I remember once with the rails and them holding me. And it took a long time to get about 5 feet, just everything I had to make it. And thus began a journey of inpatient therapy, outpatient therapy in my journey. And then I hired a trainer when I got out of outpatient therapy to try to help me regain strength. I remember in the inpatient therapy hospital, they had markings on the floor of the therapy room, and I could walk with my rolling walker, and I could lean on it. I could use it for some help, but in trying to reach goals, I just couldn't sit down. I could stop. And I remember being able to make it from one corner, just one side of the square, and being so proud of that. Making it two corners. And if you've ever been in a health situation, you know that insurance controls so much. And I had to have gains and had to reach goals to stay another week or 2 weeks. And I remember the goal of making the complete square, if I remember right, 30 feet each direction, 120 feet to make the complete square. And the challenges and standing still, beads of sweat popping out of my forehead, pain racking my body, but determined not to sit down and quit because I was going to make this square. And I was determined to regain my health. And then some friends recommended this trainer. He has several gyms in Alexandria. He's trained various pro athletes in different sports, and he's also worked in recovery. And they said he'll work with you exactly where you're at. And by this time, that was about 5 pounds. And that was a few things. I'd come in with my walker, and then I'd come in with my cane a few weeks later. And, I mean, little stuff for 30 minutes. And I'd go home and sit in the recliner, and I would fall so far asleep. I call it drool napping. You wake up and there's my girls were just honest. They were just honest. They were kind of relentless too. They enjoyed mimicking the noises I made during those drool naps. They walk up to me and said, Dad, you were like, and I'm like, no, that wasn't me. Yeah, Dad, that was you. Sleeping an extra hour or two at night, sleeping 2 or 3 hours from a 30-minute workout. And I talked to the trainer. I said, I'm a bum. He said, no, you're not a bum. I said, all I do is sleep. He said, no, you're not a bum. Every second that you're sleeping, your body is in recovery. But I began to travel, and some of my ministry friends gave me rides the first few months and come pick me up to preach. And I remember I like to walk when I preach, but not those few weeks. I basically said, look, tie me with a bungee cord to the pulpit, and I'm going to lean over, and we'll preach a little bit, but not quite. But I didn't stay with the gym. I'd love to tell you I did. I didn't. But something happened. I began to walk in my neighborhood, and it was halting, and it was with a limp. And I remember I would turn, and I would do some sideways steps, and I may just go to the stop sign and back. And then I began to take, you know, I'll go around these two blocks this time. And I realized, and this may date me, something throughout my life that I thought, maybe it is decades and decades, but something that I had considered boring. How can people just walk for exercise? I mean, you see those little ladies go by in the mall with those $200 tennis shoes, and boy, they're just doing their little thing, man. I'm like, that'll never be me. It became me. I fell in love with walking, and I walked my way back to health, and I walked my way back to strength, and I decided, and I'm trying to get back into the gym to regain some other layers of strength. I'm not anti. I tell people I'm allergic to the gym. I'm not. I need to exercise some more. But I at that phase in my life, I realized I may not can be a superstar in the gym, but I can walk. And I'm going to preach from that concept today is there are different phases and seasons of our life. But we're going to realize that most of our life is going to be comprised of simply being faithful and keeping on, keeping on, and keeping on walking with and for our Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, I'm in a phase right now where my eating is outpacing my walking, okay? But I have the Fitbit app on my phone. And if you looked on this Fitbit app, I did a quick glance. My last 9 weeks, the average may not be much for some of you mall walkers, but for me, it's all right. That my last 9 weeks, I averaged 60,000 steps a week. That's 28 miles for the last 9 weeks average because I just kept walking. I didn't stop walking. I just kept on walking, and I'm going to keep on walking. And when it comes to serving Jesus Christ, come what may, I've made a decision from the depth of my heart. Amen. There may be some days I can't be a superstar, but you know what? I can walk. I can keep being faithful, and I'm going to keep serving my Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. There are so many examples in the Bible, statements, direct statements and examples related to walking and our walk, our relationship with God, defined, described as a walk. The Bible says directly that Noah walked with God. Enoch walked with God. You have scriptures that say, walk worthy of God. Scriptures that say, as you have received Christ, walk in him. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I could name literally hundreds of verses that define and describe in some form walking with the Lord. I believe that is the greatest metaphor, the most pure example of our relationship, lifetime relationship with God is walking with him. Webster defines walking as to move along on foot, to advance by steps, but it defines it further. To pursue a course of action or a way of life, to be or act in association with or to continue in union. A great definition to me because that's our goal, to move through life, to advance in union with God. Amen. And hence the term walking with God. Now allow me to say this again. Walking is not the only part of our journey with God. I'm going to talk about that. But I present that it's the main part. There are many different phases. Would you say the word phases? Many different seasons in our relationship with God. Let me see if I'm in the right place. If you've lived for God for 3 months or longer, you should be able to answer this question. How many of you in living for God understand that there are different seasons or phases in your journey? Amen. Just making sure I'm in the right place. There are many. Let me show you a verse that has three in the same verse. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. Notice with me, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. For the Cooper, in the same verse, we have three phases mentioned. We have three phases. There are times that we are going to fly like an eagle. There are other times that we will run like a sprinter. And then it says, and they shall walk and not faint. In one verse, flying, running, and walking. And all these are great, and they all have their place. And I'm not trying to lower any expectations today. I hope there are still people praying in the prayer room telling God, I want to fly like an eagle. I want to fly in the spirit. I want to soar. I want to run in the spirit like Usain Bolt. I mean, I would love to, for 1 minute of my life, be able to run like that fella. I mean, a lot of people would, man. Just want to run like a deer. Lord, I want that. I'm not trying to lower any expectations. Keep praying to fly in the spirit. Keep praying to run like an Olympic sprinter. Keep praying for those phases and those seasons and those moments in your life. But please understand this preacher today. I've flown like an eagle in the spirit. I have. I promise. And I hunger to keep doing that as often as God will allow. I have ran in the spirit and had moments in the spirit that I felt like I was an Olympic sprinter, but I find out that I fly like an eagle, but the flight lands. I find that I can run like an Olympian, but it's a short sprint for a reason. You can't run like that too terribly long. Even the world's best marathoners, they only do that for 26 miles. It's then what are you going to do when the flight lands? And what are we going to do when the sprint is over? Thank God for flying. Keep praying for it. Thank God for running. Keep believing in it. But when the flight lands, get up the next day and say, okay, God, until my next flight, I'm going to keep walking with you. I'm going to keep serving you. I'm going to keep being faithful for the kingdom of God. I may have a burst of energy and run like a deer in the spirit for a week, but next week I'm not going to backslide because I can't run like that. I'm going to get up and keep walking. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me just encourage somebody for a moment. The devil is good at beating us over the head and trying to beat us down with condemnation. If you have a flying like an eagle week or two and you talk in tongues at this, even the song you don't like, and you order at McDonald's speaking in heavenly languages and they get the interpretation, I mean, you're just out there. Your chill bumps have chill bumps. You know what I'm talking about? Ooh, yeah. And you're in the zone. But when that flight lands, and the next week hell starts coming up and saying, you're backslidden. You're backslidden because you didn't operate in the spirit like you did last week. And no, tell him, you look him in the face and say, listen, I'm not backslidden. The flight just landed. This week, the will of God is for me to walk with him. And I'm going to keep on walking. And when God needs to open that channel again, he'll do it. But I'm going to stay faithful. Hallelujah. 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 So there's flying like an eagle. There's running the sprints. And those are exciting and they are memorable. What about the other direction? What do you mean, the other direction? What about those phases or times or seasons of life where, see, flying and running, that's faster than walking, and that's elevated atmosphere. But what about when tough stuff happens? And what about instead of walking, I have a few days where it takes all I have just to stand still? What about those days? And we have Bible for that. We had Bible for soaring like an eagle and running. How about Ephesians 6, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand. And having done all to stand, stand therefore. You hear this preacher. There are some days the will of God is just to say, hell, I may not take a single step today, but I'm standing here in the anointing of the Holy Ghost, and I'm not going to give up my ground, and you're not going to get my family, and you're not going to get my home, and you withstand the evil attack of the enemy on your walk with God. There's Bible for standing. But your whole life is not going to consist of standing still. It has its place. There's even Bible for falling down, because God knows we're human and we don't schedule or plan to fail or to fall. But I sure am glad that when I stumble, I can turn to Micah 7 verse 8. There's been seasons in my life. This was my favorite verse in the Bible. I quoted it 26 times a day because I had just had a mess up. And that's not a bad thing, to realize that God even provided in his word that says, rejoice not against me, for when I fall, that's not walking, that's not flying, that's not running, and I didn't even stand on that day, I stumbled. But the Bible says, I don't want you to fall, but the Lord says, don't plan on it, do everything not to, but when you do, rejoice not against me, devil, when I fall, because I'm not going to stay down, I'm going to get back up, amen, I shall arise. It's not my whole message today, but can I tell somebody, you can get back up. You don't have to stay down when you fall down. You don't have to stay down. You can get back up and keep living for Jesus. Don't rejoice against me, devil. Wipe that smile off your face. I'm going to keep serving Jesus. Hallelujah. And the rest of that verse goes on to say, see, there's even times of sitting. Well, Brother Greg, last Sunday you were singing, the Lord is my light and he's my salvation, and now you're sitting in the dark. What happened? Yeah, even Christians can go through a dark day or two. It don't mean God quit being God. It just means I'm in a storm right now. The sun's still shining. One of the greatest revelations I ever got was flying out of New Orleans one time, and it was a cloudy day, and I drove from Baton Rouge years ago to New Orleans, and it was the same cloud the whole way. That's how big the cloud was. It felt like if you'd have drove all the way into Mississippi or all the way back to Houston, it was one big, ginormous cloud. I got on that airplane. It had been drizzling rain. It was a dark, heavy cloud. And that plane took off, and it began to ascend, and it got in the cloud, and then it came out on the top of the cloud, and it was the brightest sunshine that I'd ever seen. The what looked like the world's darkest cloud turned in the world's most glistening cotton ball. I put on the little light, and I asked the flight attendant, can y'all stop? Can I jump out? I want to jump on that cotton ball. I didn't really. It was amazing. And I got a revelation on that day. On your darkest day down there, it don't mean the sun quit shining. It just means there's a temporary cloud in the way that's blocking the sunlight. Devil, don't rejoice against me when I sit in darkness for a day or two. It don't mean the light's gone out. It don't mean God fell off the throne. It don't mean God's not able. It just means there's a cloud today. I'm going to keep on serving Jesus. If I sit in a dark place for a day or two, God, I don't understand. God is heavy. God is dark. I've learned to say, but you're still on the throne. The sun's still shining. And I will. Hallelujah. So eagle days, running days, standing days, even maybe a time or two that I stumble and fall, or I sit in darkness for a brief period of time. I even found lying down in the Bible, Psalms 23, he maketh me to lie down. There may be a day God said, boy, you need a fiesta. take a rest in the spirit for a day or two. That's not running or flying. That's just a good old nap. I don't know if y'all believe in naps, but I believe in naps. Oh, that's the most anointing I felt in the house all morning, right? Y'all heard that amen? Somebody like, yeah. I heard what else you said. Hurry up, quit preaching, preacher, so I can get home and eat and get me a big nap. He maketh me to lie down. Those times are ordained of God and greatly needed. But each one of them by itself does not constitute the majority of our days with God. Let's take it a little further. David, hero of the Old Testament, experienced some of the different phases in his life. At one point, you got to imagine the anointing or the unction that the warrior side of David felt on the day that he writes, "By my God, I will run through a troop and leap over a wall." That's bowed up. I mean, that's feeling your oats right there. It's like one guy saying, "Give me an entire troop, and I will run through that entire troop, and I'll leap over any wall." You know what I love? One thing I love about this verse is even if you quote it backwards, it's still awesome. If you run through a wall and leap over a troop, that's still a pretty good day. Those days, we love them. That's an eagle day. Stay with me for a minute. Water guns have come a long way in my lifetime. Anybody in the 40, 50, 60 age group can remember back? I mean, kids go by now, they got these tanks hanging off their back. They got these bazooka-looking things. Well, you know, it's water day, Brother Greg. I'm like, what? I remember, do anybody remember those little like 49, 59-cent water pistols? Didn't hold much water. But the thing that really caused me to lose my religion a few times was the hole on the top that you're supposed to get water in. Y'all know what I'm talking about? That little bitty plastic thing that comes out in this little bitty hole, and you're at the sink or the water hose, and it's like it's bouncing off. I can't get water on. That's my analogy or my mental picture when I'm really feeling anointed. And I say, "Hell, I'll take on all of hell with two of those 59-cent water pistols." I feel real anointed, that's the feel. I'm going to give me just two of those little things, and every flame of hell, I'm about to march through hell. And we feel it some days. But the same man who wrote, "By my God, I'll run through a troop and leap over a wall," talked about hiding under the shadow of the Almighty. "Under his wings will I put my trust," and compared himself to a baby bird, just saying, God, I don't feel so anointed today. Can I just kind of cuddle underneath your wing? Will you protect me today? God, the enemy's throwing more bullets than I can handle, and I think I'm just going to get down in this foxhole, and I'm going to pray your protection today. That's the same exact man. Don't let the devil lie to you when you have to have a shield day, or you have to have a shelter day, or you have to have a few moments and say, "God, I know last week I took on hell with a little water pistol, but this week I feel I need to be under your wings, Lord. I pray your strength. I pray your protection. I need to be in the foxhole." A great and a mighty warrior. But I present with David that even taking on a whole troop by himself, or flying over a wall looking for the battle, or the days that he hid under the shadow of the wings of God, if you went from the beginning of his life to the end, those would be scattered in between. But that's not the majority of his days, is taking on a troop by himself or hiding in a foxhole. The majority of David's days would be in between the battles and in between the foxhole days, in between that anointing so strong, amen, that you're saying, I'm ready to walk all over the devil.
I'm ready to stomp all over the devil, are the days you're hiding under his. That's not the majority of David's days. The majority of David's days is in between the battles and in between the protection days. David just stayed faithful, and he served Jesus Christ, and he went on the hillside, and he worshiped, and he wrote psalms, and he lifted up the name of the Lord. What are you saying, Brother Greg? I'm saying we're going to have our highs, and we're going to have our lows. We're going to have our great days, and we're going to have our tough days. But I've decided, and I'm preaching to us in this house, I'm in it for the long haul. I'm going to keep on keeping on. In between the great victories, I'm going to keep on keeping on. And in between the tough days and the challenging days, I'm going to keep on keeping on. I love flying, and I'm going to pray to fly. And I love running fast, and I'm going to pray to do that. But on the days that's not happening, I'm going to walk. You can do this, folks. You can keep on being faithful, even when it's not easy. Even when the flight lands and maybe it turns to the other and you have a tough stretch. And I'm trying not to just preach out of my own story right now, but I just have to say for a minute, even when your prayers aren't answered the way you wanted them to be answered, even when God doesn't respond in the way that you thought God was going to respond, you gotta just pull yourself some days up by the bootstraps and say, you know, I'm going to keep on. All I know to do is keep on serving Jesus. All I know to do is keep on keeping on. So if you're landing from a flight, or if you're coming up from a low place, you can do this. You can walk with Jesus. You can keep on keeping on. You can keep on being faithful. Somebody say it with me. I'm going through. Going to have a lot of ups and downs. But I believe when you get back, and if you journaled your entire life, you would realize the majority of days were walking with Jesus. The majority of days were just keeping on, and being faithful. I'm not just trying to preach you into a blessing on a Sunday at church, but I'm trying to preach. In the old times, they said that's the kind of message that'll put meat on your bones. Whatever that means, I'm trying to put some meat on our bones today. And more than you just getting a blessing on a Sunday, is I'm preaching for the finish line. Amen. I'm glad to see you here in the house of God on this Sunday, but I want to see you in the line of the white throne judgment in eternity. Amen. Saying, I made it. I was faithful. I stayed with it till the end. My Bible says, he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. They don't give out Super Bowl trophies with 3 minutes left in the game. There's a few teams we could interview about that. They don't give out World Series trophies, Olympic medals, you understand, before the race is over. I'm going to keep on keeping on with my eyes on the prize of making it all the way. Somebody say all the way. All the way to the end. I love flying, but I'm going to walk on those days. I don't like the tough days, but I'm going to get up out of them, and I'm going to walk with Jesus. Can I encourage somebody here today? You may say, I just can't live for God like so-and-so. You know what you can do? You can get up and walk today. You can get up and live for Jesus today. And that's all he's asking, because when you walk, you're going to gain strength to walk some more tomorrow and to walk some more. Somebody say, I'm going through. The good news is when you determine that I'm going through. I looked it up during church at the risk of somebody thinking I was texting, but I wanted to look up a definition real quick. But the word through means moving in one side and out of the other side of an opening, channel, or location. Moving in one side, and when all is said and done, moving out the other side. In the Bible that I read, it talks about that a little bit, because it says, yea, though I walk through. That means I'm going to come in one side, and if I'll just keep walking, somebody hear this preacher this morning, if I'll just keep walking, if I'll just keep making it, I may be talking to somebody that you feel like, Brother Greg, I feel like you felt on that walker. I don't feel like you keep on walking. You keep on pressing at it. You keep on going at it. You keep on going in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. God will restore your strength. You didn't come to this valley to let the valley destroy you. You come to it and you're going to walk through it. Yea, though I walk through the valley, the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. One of my favorites, and I promise I'm coming to a close. Isaiah 43, verse 2. Would you notice these verses with me? When thou passest, I love this verse. It's so powerful, this reading. When thou passest through the waters, I will. Here's the great promise. When you walk with Jesus, he's walking with you, honey. Amen. I'm not walking alone. When you walk, when I pass through the waters, the Lord said, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither the flame kindle upon thee. I would love to tell you that if you pray just right, and if you speak faith just right, that God is never going to have you walk through a valley, never going to have you walk through some tough waters or rivers, and never walk through a fiery situation. I'm not finding that the Bible says, Greg, you didn't hold your mouth right when you spoke faith. If you would have did it louder, and if you would have stomped better, the valley would have disappeared. Anybody understand what I'm talking about? I don't find in my Bible that it says if you walk with Jesus, you're never going to go through an opposition. You're never going to go through a trial. You're never going to go through a valley. And you're never going to go through a storm. I can't find those in the Word of God. But I can find that he said, when you walk through it, I will be with thee. I'm not going to deliver you from every one of them. But I'll be with you in the middle of that storm. I'll be with you in the middle of that trial. You keep on walking. Why? Because you can rest assured Jesus is walking with you. Hallelujah. Jesus is walking with you. Somebody say it. I'm going through. I'm going through. I'm walking with my Jesus. And what? I'm going. Now, we just read, look at the end of that verse. He said at the beginning, I'll be with thee. And at the end, he said, when you walk through the fire, you'll not be burned, neither will the flame kindle upon you. Right? Is that what the Bible says? Now, where is that answered directly in the Bible? We've heard it, most of us, in Sunday school, the three Hebrew children, right? So look with me, and if you want to stand, I promise, I'm not just tricking you, I'm really done. If you want to stand, musicians, if you want to come. But please stay with me. How many of you will stay with Brother Greg for just a couple more minutes? Thank you for all 27 of you. Just kidding, I got you standing up. How many of you will stay with us for just a couple more minutes? God's got something beautiful in this house today. Notice, three men fell bound into the midst of the fiery furnace. Somebody say three, bound. Then, verse 24, the king was astonished. He began to do a double take, and he said, we cast three bound. And they said, true. In verse 25, he said, I see four loose. It's not our message today, but when Jesus with you in the fire, what hell intended to bind you up, you may go through a fire or two, but Jesus comes in and undoes. They were loose, and what were they doing? Walking in the fire. He said, when you go through it, I'll be with you. He showed up in the fire with them. But something that's given me so much encouragement, strength. Revelation chapter 1, jump all the way to the end of the Bible, and John is seeing the vision of God. And he's defining what he sees, and just notice these verses with me. He said, in the midst of seven candlesticks, I saw one like the Son of Man. By the way, that's what Nebuchadnezzar saw, that fourth one in the fire. He said he's likened to a son of God. It's pretty interesting. He's clothed with a garment down to the foot. He has a golden girdle on his head, and his hairs are white like wool, white as snow. His eyes a flame of fire. But would you notice with me verse 15? At the end of the Bible, when John sees a vision of the Lord, he said, oh, when I looked at his feet, he said it was as if they burned in a furnace. You know why? Because they did. I believe it with all my heart. They did burn in a furnace. Because he joined the three Hebrew children one day and said, you walk with me and you stood for me and you did everything you could to live for me. And the enemy tried to lock you down and bind you up. And he said, but I joined you in the fire and you didn't feel the heat because I took it for you. I live believing that Jesus walks with us in situations and he walks with us. I'm going to keep walking with Jesus. You know why? Because he's walking with me. I'm going to keep walking with Jesus. Why? Because no matter what I face, or you face or go through, Jesus will join you in that storm, join you in that fire. And I believe I'm going to get to heaven and he may can show me some battle scars and said, I took this for you, Greg. He'll be able to show me his feet burned in a furnace because he protected me through the fire, through the storm, through the circumstances of life. Would you lift your hands to the heavens right now? Hallelujah. 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 Just lift your hearts to the Lord. There's been a beautiful, powerful spirit of the Holy Ghost in this house all morning long. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There are different phases and different seasons, high and low. But when it all comes down to it, most of your days are going to be spent being faithful and continuing to serve Jesus and to walk with him. But walking with him is the greatest thing you can do because he's walking with you in every battle, every storm, every trial, every situation. Hallelujah. Would you do something I like to do from time to time? Would you take the hand of a loved one or a neighbor or friend? That person sitting beside you, would you lift that hand to the heavens right now? There's oil in this room right now. There's strength in this room right now. Single parent mom, you can do this. Dad who just lost your job, you can do this. Young person that may be going through a battle or a trial in your family, you can do this. You can do this. When you stumble, you can get back up. Hallelujah. When you sit in darkness, you can arise. You can do this. You can keep serving Jesus. Well, Brother Albritton, I can't jump so high today. You might not can, but you can walk. Keep on living for Jesus Christ. Brother Albritton, I've not soared in the spirit for a little while. Keep praying for that. But right now, you keep showing up. You keep being faithful. You can do this. You can live for God. You can live for God. You can make it to heaven. You can do this. Hallelujah, dear Jesus. Would you take the hand you're holding and lift it high to the heavens right now? Hallelujah. 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 Lord, more than simply a blessing on a Sunday morning, which we're grateful for, let something come in the hearts of every one of us. I'm going to go to heaven. I'm going to live for Jesus. I'm going to stay faithful until the end of this journey. I'm going to keep on, keeping on, and keeping on. In Jesus' name. I don't know your custom on each Sunday morning, but what I'd like to ask is everyone that will to come and stand. Let's just come and stand. Come close, young people, children, adults, families. If you're a guest or a friend of this church, let's just come just a few more minutes. I know a priest a few minutes extra, but let's just come. We won't be long. Let's just come. Come close so others can come behind you. There's a ministering spirit in this room. There's a ministering spirit in this room where it's going to let God's power flow and God's strength flow and God's anointing flow in this house. Could you come? That's it. That's it. Come. That's it. And when you come, that's it. Some are already closing their eyes and just lifting their hands. Just commit a few more minutes to God's presence for his ministry and his spirit and his oil to flow. You need strength from the Lord. Let anointing come on you right now. You need strength from the heavens. Let a ministry come on you right now. Hallelujah. As they sing, just minister. That's it. If you feel to minister to someone beside you, around you, near you, let's let the oil of the Spirit flow for a few moments this morning in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Come on, Grace Church. God's still moving. God's still working. There's people being touched all across the front. Come on, let's be sensitive to what God's doing right now. Let's don't be in a hurry. Come on, minister to one another right now. There are kids receiving the Holy Ghost right now. There's people receiving strength for today and strength for tomorrow. Come on, God's pouring out the Spirit of God right now. Come on, let's just be sensitive to what God's doing. That's it. Find somebody to pray with. Find somebody to minister to.